All right, get your Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus chapter 15. You want to give her one?
She's not saying two.
Oh, very good. Okay. Exodus chapter number 15. At bubuksan natin sa verse number 23. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. At ang ibig sabihin ng Marah ay bitterness. Bitterness or bitter. The waters of Marah. Now, sa map, look at the third map, yung ikatatlong map. 1, 2, 3. Makikita ninyo sa map natin yung journey, the Exodus journey. Do you see that in your map?
Yes.
Okay. So sa map natin, you see that the children of Israel cross the Red Sea. Nadala-dala nila ang bones of Joseph, number 2. Picture number 2. Okay? And the Lord directed them southward into the wilderness of Shur. The wilderness of Shur. So are you sure about that? So verse 22, look at Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Etong wilderness of Shur, halos yan ang sa southern section ng map. Yan ang, we can call it like the Sinai Peninsula. And it's like a rabbit ear. You can see the two rivers, the Gulf of Geber and the Red Sea, forms the rabbit ears. And they're making their way down south. Dyan sa Mount Sinai ang pinupunta nila. They're gonna make their way to Mount Sinai sa picture number 10. Pero ngayon, nasa picture number 5 tayo. You see that? Picture 2 is they carry the bones of Joseph. Kasi Joseph knew that the promised land is where God wanted them to be. So Joseph said, "Promise me that you will take my bones, and when you get to Canaan, the promised land, you will bury me over there." And so Joseph had faith about that. And so they took him, they went through the Red Sea, yung number 3, the crossing of the Red Sea. At ngayon, nasa, and yung number 4, yung the Pharaoh, army of Pharaoh tried to overtake them again, and they were destroyed. So now we come down to number 5 and we're making our way down to Mount Sinai. Pero ngayon, nasa number 5 pa lang tayo at saka number 6. Marah and Elam. Marah and Elam. So these are estimated places. There was Elam, there was Elim at saka Marah. Nandun yung mga yun. Hindi lang natin sure kung talagang eto talaga yung geographic location. Pero matatanto natin na southward sila. Kasi pwede naman silang dumaan sa north, kung makikita mo, pasok na kaagad sa Canaan, sa north. Kaya lang, madi-discourage sila kasi maraming mga kaaway dito at mga higanti pa sila. Eh, katatapos pa lang lumabas ng Egypt yung Israelites, madi-discourage sila, ma-overwhelm sila sa enemy. So, mga 2 million sila at this point, men, women, children. 2 million people around, approximately. And so they are a roving, nomadic people at this point. And they come to Marah. Pagdating sa Marah, nandun yung, nandun si, Ate Bambi, paki-check lang si Ate Christy kung ano yung kailangan niya. All right. So, as I was saying, Pagdating doon sa beyond the crossing of the Red Sea and the wilderness of Shur, southward patungo sa Mara sila. Okay? And sabi ng Bible dito, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Verse 22. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, malaki yung problema yan. Yung wala kang tubig. Is that a big problem when you're trying to secure and provide for the 2 million people without water? You can go without water maybe for a half a day. Maybe. Maybe for 1 day. That's a big if. Certainly not 2 days. Certainly not 3 days. And they are there in a situation where they have desperate needs. They were in a desperate situation before this. About 3 or 4 days ago, they were trapped by the Red Sea and the army of Egypt behind them. That was a desperate situation. They were in desperate situation for their life. And now, within another week, they're in desperate situation for water. Again, their life was threatened. Desperate situations, difficult situations. Have you ever been there? Difficult situations, desperate situations. I think if you lived any length of time, you will experience those things. And if you haven't yet, you will. Okay? And so, look at what else the Bible says in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So here's another difficulty. They find a body of water, and yet they could not drink from the body of water. They needed water. It's been 3 days since they haven't had water. They come to an oasis. It's a beautiful place. It has some nice water, but the water is bitter. Meaning to say, the water is not safe to consume. Maybe it had a reputation of making someone sick when they drink that water, so it's not appropriate, it's not proper to drink. Now, when they, I'm trying to explain to you, they're having a hard time. So what's the natural response to the hard time? Well, look at verse 24. Verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses. The people murmured. Now that's a pretty interesting word. Yan ang fleshly response. This is the fleshly response to difficulties and troubles and desperate situation. Murmuring. Murmuring. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God's blessing stop them from murmuring? They were just delivered. God split the Red Sea. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible. They had gone through the Red Sea. They saw the wall of water. And then God destroyed the army of Egypt. Did God's blessing stop them from murmuring? No. Kaya kayong mga mahilig sa miracles. Miracles do not break hearts. Miracles do not stop people from murmuring. It is the truth. Murmuring. Anong ibig sabihin ng murmuring? Well, it's an expression of discontentment or complaint by grumbling. Ano itong murmuring sa Tagalog? Grumbling. Nagmamaktol sa salita, sa hinga. Grumbling. That's murmuring. Murmuring is tarrying or remaining or abiding in discontentment, and complaining. Ang ibig talaga sabihin ng murmur, to stop. To live there. To abide there. That's what murmuring literally means. It literally means to stay where you're at. They tarried there. There is a sense of lingering in that state. So it's one thing to be disappointed and to move on. It's another thing to be discontent and disappointed and to be stuck in that state of discontentment. Permanency. Merong idea of remaining or abiding in that position. Murmuring here is directed against the leadership of Moses. Who did they murmur to? Who did they murmur about? Well, the Bible says they murmured against Moses. Bakit sila nag-complain patungkol kay Moses? Kasi siya ang leader. So, tandaan ninyo, ang complaining, murmuring palagi sa leader. And if you desire leadership, maghanda kayo kasi kasama sa leadership ang murmuring. Now tayo, huwag tayong mag-murmur. Huwag tayong maging stuck sa complaining attitude. And this is typical of church members complaining about the pastor. Citizens complaining about the president. Wives and children complaining about the husband, or if there's no husband in the house and the mom is the head of the home by default. Children complaining about their parents. Students complaining about their teachers. May authority problem ho ang flesh. Man's flesh has an authority problem. You say, well, the president is not a nice guy. He is Antichrist. Yes, maybe. But the office of the president needs to be honored. Marangal ang opisina ng Pangulo. Kahit na yung Pangulo gumagawa siya ng mali o nagagawa niya yung mali, ang opisina pa rin ng president, Pangulo siya. At dapat, kung hindi mo marespeto yung tao, dapat marespeto yung opisina ng tao. Dahil hindi ho tayo mga anghel. We need government because none of us are angels. It is a necessity of society. And who is the one who installed the leader? Who is the one who installed him? Who did?
God.
So when you complain about the leader, ingatan nyo, huwag mag-complain patungkol sa Diyos. Who installed me as an interim pastor for now? Ako ang interim pastor ngayon kasi missionary ako. Itataguyod natin ang church. Balang araw, magiging church tayo and meron tayong pastor. So sa time na yon, wala pa tayong pastor, I am standing as the interim pastor. May nagko-complain ba sa akin? Yes. I know that. Guarantee. Si pastor ganito, si pastor ganyan, si pastor ganito. Well, that will not help you. That will not help you. Kasi wala namang perfect church member. You see that? Oh, children murmur against the parents. Well, my parents won't allow me to do this. My parents is... They sin this way and they're wrong this way. Well, yes. Are you perfect as a child? Oh. Well, you're not perfect, so you expect perfect parents? Man has an authority problem. And behind all the authority is God. Adam had a problem with God. Kasi nung sinabi ni God kay Adan, bakit ka kumain? Sinabi ni Adan, yung babae na binigay mo sa akin. Adam blamed God. That was murmuring. And if we're not careful, we will fall into the trap of murmuring. Stay and abide and stop and linger and permanently be complaining. Watch out for the attitude of murmuring. This comes along bitterness. Bitterness. How do I know if a person is bitter? They complain. They murmur. And it's always someone else's fault. That is a sign of bitterness. That is a sign of murmuring. It is the fleshly response. Now, listen carefully. Kung gusto mong kumalas sa spirit of bitterness and complaining, eto mga Bible principles na tatandaan dapat. Una sa lahat, it is okay na mawalan ng mga bagay. Whether tubig, whether kalusugan, whether buhay. Pera, trabaho, opportunity, lahat yan pwedeng mawala. Tandaan ninyo, okay lang na mawalan ka ng mga mahal sa buhay, kaibigan, mga bagay. Loss is not the problem. It is your response to loss that is the problem. That's where the sin begins. To lose something is not as bad as to be bitter about something. That's worse. That is worse. You can stand in doubt. You can be troubled or afflicted. You can experience doubt, loss, trouble, and affliction. There's no sin in any of that. But the sin comes in when you become distressed or despair or depressed or to be utterly without hope or to be destroyed even. That's when the sin is. It's okay to be humbled. It's okay to be cast low, to be brought down. But it's not okay to be utterly without hope or destroyed. That's not good. That's the fleshly response. Tingnan mo, nung dumaan sila sa Red Sea, what was their response? Song and dancing and joy. And then when they come to the waters of Marah, 3 days without water, and they can't even drink the water of Marah, what was their response? The joy, the dancing, the singing turned into murmuring. That's how bitterness works. That's the fleshly person who doesn't live by faith. They live by sight. So if the water is sweet, there's music. If the water is bitter, there's complaining and grumbling and murmuring and bitterness. So watch out for your attitude, Christian. Huwag tayong maging katulad ng mga Israelites na pag nandyan ang maganda, masaya tayo. Pag nandyan ang bad news, defeated tayo. Matuto tayo na mabuhay by faith. Learn to live by faith so that when the good news comes, you say, praise the Lord and thank God. And when the bad news comes, you say, praise the Lord, I can be obedient to God. Thank God for His grace. Help me, Lord. And you won't be without hope. Hindi ka mag-distress, ma-despair, or ma-destroy ng pagsubok. And so, eto, sa fleshly response, all of God's blessings are forgotten. Nalimutan nila ang mga blessing ng Panginoon. Nalimutan nila na nagpadala ang Diyos ng 10 plagues. Supernatural plagues. They forgot that. They forgot the Red Sea. How God split the Red Sea. I mean, if God could split the Red Sea and send 10 plagues, do you think that He can supply for water? Yes, but they forgot because they were bitter and they were in despair. Distress. And they were in the process of being destroyed. So, eto no, ang wrong response. The wrong response to trial is to murmur. Now, what is the proper response? Look at verse number 25. So, start of verse 25. Here's the proper response to trials and trouble when you get to Mara situations in your life, right? Look at verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord. That's it. He cried unto the Lord. Sino itong he? Moses. Anong ibig sabihin ng cried? Huh? Cried. He cried unto the Lord. He called upon the Lord. He brought his trouble to the Lord. And prayed. That's the calling. That's the crying unto the Lord. He brought to God what the people brought to him. And see, that's what happens when you pray. When you hear bad news, you are responsible to receive it and to bring it before the Lord in prayer. Eh, paano naman kung hindi mo ugali mag-pray? So, anong gagawin mo? Pag nakarinig ka ng bad news, dumating sa'yo ang bad news, anong gagawin mo? Murmur, complain. The fleshly response is not the right response. So alam nyo na yung right response he brought to God. Alam nyo, ang greatest blessing natin bilang Kristiyano ay yung Diyos ay na para sa atin. God is for us. Did you know that? So it really doesn't matter what the testings and trials that are coming your way. Tandaan ninyo, God loves you. And God's love never changes. By the way, God will not love you more when you get to heaven. God loves you now, and He loves you with perfect love. And you will not impress Him anymore when you become glorified in your body. God already accepts you and loves you. And so, the greatest comfort is to know that God is for us. Sabi nga ng Bible, if God be for us, who can be against us? Talks referring to the devil. So kahit anong gawin ng demonyo, hindi tayo madedestroy dahil ang Diyos ay para sa atin. Amen? God is with us. Alam mo, prayer is our biblical answer. Prayer is our biblical answer. Kung yung flesh, yung response niya ay murmuring, the Christian, the born-again believer, ang kanyang answer ay prayer. Prayer demonstrates our dependence upon the Lord. It shows you, it shows me, it shows everyone. When you are a praying Christian, you're telling everyone and yourself included that you truly depend upon the Lord. That's why prayer is so important. God answered Moses' prayer and provided for the people. This is the whole point of the whole message here. God provided for them. God answered their prayer, Moses' prayer. So look at verse number 25. And the Lord showed him a tree. That was God's response. Say, okay, the waters were bitter. Moses, I'm going to show you a tree. And we don't know what this tree is, but we can imagine it's probably some kind of, it has some herbal properties in the tree na pwedeng putulin yung mga sanga at yung mga dahon ng tree at pwedeng ilagay sa tubig ng Mara na bitter at itong tubig na ito ay magiging purified. It has some purification. No? So, God showed him a tree Here you see God has power. He is creator. Pwede siyang gumawa ng miracle sa mga natural means. And so, the tree had properties which made the bitter waters sweet. And they enabled them to relieve them from their despair and their trial. Let me say something. God uses trials to train us. Sorry. Yes, I know that's not the most encouraging news. But God trains us through difficulties. God uses the hard times in our life to make us stronger Christians for Him if we respond in faith, if we respond in prayer, trusting in the Lord. God cares for us by being not only our creator, but our provider. God is the provider. He made a way. He showed them a tree. Now, sabi ng mga commentators na yung tree ay malamang walang message doon. But I just happen to think that God could use this as an illustration. Because you remember, Jesus was crucified on a tree. Natatandaan ba ninyo yun? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And I don't believe that Moses had the cross in his mind when he wrote this. So this isn't necessarily directly the interpretation of the passage. This is simply an application. Okay? So itong punto na ito ay application. Pero if you really want to see how to turn bitterness into sweetness, consider Jesus Christ. Consider Him. Now that's a scriptural principle, especially Him on a tree. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so Jesus dying on the tree. Now, alam nyo ba ang ibig sabihin ng cross, the cross of Christ? You know what that is a picture of? Well, the cross of Christ is a picture of surrender. Amen? When Jesus hung on the cross, He surrendered His will. It was a picture of surrender. Now, let me tell you something. If hard time, bad news comes to you, and you are not surrendered to God, you will be bitter. Bad news, bad situations, hardships can turn you into a bitter person. And the only way out is by realizing the greatest injustice was what was done to Jesus Christ. As He hung on the cross, that was a great injustice. If anyone was injured for no good reason at all, that would be the sinless and perfect and pure Son of God, Jesus Christ. When He stood before the judge, there were four people, four or more, that were definitely more because the Sanhedrin Council judged Him, that's 70 at least. But He stood before Anna and Caiaphas. He stood before Herod. He stood before Pilate. Eh, yung apat na yan, naghukom sa kanya. Sino sa apat, yung sa apat na naghukom kay Jesus Christ, sa apat nila ang walang sala? Ha? Sino yung walang sala? Wala. All four of them were guilty. Now, was Jesus Christ, was He a sinful person? Did He commit crime? Did He break the law of God? Did He lie? Did He cheat? So, you mean to say the pure, sinless Son of God was judged and executed with injustice? Yes. But was Jesus bitter? How? Because His will was surrendered to God. The cross is a place of surrender. No self-will. Yun lang ang response. Yun ang tama. So, pagdating sa bitterness, the solution for bitterness is surrendering your will to the Lord. Realizing that, hey, you may have been done wrong. You may have a right. It may have happened that you were actually sinned against. But you don't have to remain bitter. Understanding that you submit yourself to the will of God. The cross is a place where Jesus received everything that God allowed in His life. God permitted it to happen. Jesus was turned into sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, until you are willing to receive what God permits or allows in your life, you will remain bitter. Kaya dapat, kaibigan, mga Christians, tanggapin nyo ang mga pagsubok na pinapadala ng Diyos sa buhay mo. Learn to receive the things that God allows to happen in your life. You don't have to like it, but you need to receive it. The cross is a place of obedience. The cross is a place of obedience. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8. No wonder this tree could turn something so wicked and bitter into something sweet. I mean, there's not a more worse symbol in Bible culture than a crucified Savior. That's like oxymoron. He defeated death by dying. He's the Prince of Glory crucified, defeated on a cross. This is the place of obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And by the way, the suffering of Christ on the cross is much, much more than physical suffering. Hollywood likes to portray Jesus suffering on the cross, bleeding and dying. But that's just the external. Far beyond what the human eye could see, God enveloped in darkness for 3 hours on the cross so that no man can see the true spiritual agony of Jesus suffering on the cross for our sins. It is the place of obedience. Kaya tingnan mo ang Exodus 15 verse 26. Exodus chapter 15 verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that means obey the voice of the Lord thy God, listen to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do, that's obey, that which is right in His sight, and will give ear, again, obey to His commandments, and keep, that means to guard and protect and to have, to hold, all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, and which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's another name of the Lord. He's the Lord that healeth me. Wow. He's the Lord that healeth thee. Yes, God has the power. But this is given to those who obey the Lord. And so, remember, surrender your will to God. Receive the trial that God brings your way. And obey the Lord in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trial. Look, if you can obey God in the midst of your suffering, you will bring honor and glory to God. You will not be destroyed, and you will not lose hope. You will not be in distress or despair. Now, you can be cast low. You can be at loss. You could stand in doubt. You could be troubled. You could be afflicted. That's fine. But trust in the Lord and obey Him. It is through the cross that our disappointments become appointments through the cross. Let's bow and pray and ask the Lord to bless. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We ask that you would bless, Lord, and help us use the scriptures and apply them to our lives, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we ask that you'd bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.